Today's daf is daf Pei Dalet, so we'll pick up on the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Beis, five lines up at the two dots. The Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. So what did he tell us? The Mishnah yesterday we had learned that, where is that line there? Yeah, in the Mishnah, the beginning of the parak. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was of the opinion that if his wife were to die, he Mesa Yershenu. So the halacha is that if he makes a Tanai that he doesn't want to be Yorish's wife. So I don't want to be Yorish's wife. I'm going to remove myself from any Yerusha from her. She ends up dying. He is still going to be Yorish's because he is Masa Mashakos Batara. That person makes a condition on a Din D'Oraisa. You cannot change a Din D'Oraisa. You can't say, I don't want that Din D'Oraisa. The Din D'Oraisa applies regardless of what your intentions, regardless of your stipulations, it's going to be Chal. So therefore, even though he says, I don't want to be Yorisher, it by against his will, the Torah forces it in that you're going to be Yorisher anyway, because that's a Din D'Oraisa, according to Rashbag, that a husband is Yorish's wife. Now, not everybody agrees it's a Din D'Oraisa, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel thinks it is a D'Oraisa that a husband is Yorish's wife. So the Gemara now says, five lines up, two dots, Amar Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, v'lo metame. Rav says we paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, but not for his reasoning. So this is going to be very complicated. We're going to say a few different shot on what this means. So, line by line. My halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel v'lo metame. What does it mean we paskin like him, but not for the reasoning? So the pashas is, we paskin that a husband, we think, husband would be Yorish's wife. That's halacha, but not for the reason that he says that if Tanai is batel, it must be for another reason. That's a simple understanding of this line.
What he says to begin with, a bunch of them going again.
As we said, that if a husband says, I don't want to be Yorish my wife,
we don't listen to him,
his wife dies, he's Yorish her anyways. So we paskin like that, but for a different reason than him.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel v'lo metame. Ilema, if it means halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Damar im Mesa Yershena. If it means that we paskin like him, that if she dies, he's going to inherit her anyways. V'lo metame, but not for his reasoning. Why? Deilu Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel savar masa masha kosu b'Torah tanai batel. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel thinks because if first makes a tanai against the Torah, that tanai doesn't work. And Rav savar tanai kayim. And Rav holds that tanai will be effective. That tanai is chal.
Against the Torah.
No, but he holds, but Kesavar Yerushas Habal Dirabanan, but Chachamim also Chizik Ledivraim Yoser Mishel Torah. So it's a Din Dirabanan only that the husband's going to be Yorish's wife. But we find many places, but not always, that the Din Dirabanan is greater, has greater strength than the Din D'Oraisa in order to overcompensate. A person might say, the Din Dirabanan, so the Chacham had to overcompensate and make it stronger that you cannot be Mevatel this Tanai. So we see from here that Tanai is not batel either, according to Rav, and a husband would be Yorish his wife against his will, basically. So it's the same halacha that after the wife dies, he inherits her. And even though he makes a Tanai, he inherits her. But for different reasonings, Rashbag thinks because Yerusha Sabal is the Deraisa, but Rav thinks Yerusha Sabal is only Medirbanim.
Hold on. But it sounds like that Chachamim is Mechazak Debal. Meaning, I did not want to inherit. Because of all the Baal Rabbanan.
Not Mechazik the Baal. The Mechazik, the concept of Yerushas HaBaal. Not Mechazik, what the Baal tried to do of his Tanai. They mean Mechazik, the Yerushas HaBaal, they instituted that a husband's going to be Yoresh, his wife. That's the Takana. And they made that stronger than in Din D'Oraisa, that even if you make it Tanai, that Tanai will not be effective.
Not that the reason that because of the Yerusha, then you must follow it.
Because the Chacham said...
Not because the Torah said so.
Because the Torah doesn't say so.
The Torah doesn't say so.
The Torah does not say anywhere explicitly that Yerusha is a Baal. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said he... Right, so there's a machlokes. There's no explicit pasuk that Yerusha is a Baal exists. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel found the drasha that this pasuk is referring to Yerusha is a Baal. So he thinks it's a Din D'Oraisa. Chacham thinks that's not the drasha. And therefore, Midiraisa, a husband, is not Yerusha's wife.
Now, Chachamim is maskimim that Yerusha based on any other drusha or this drusha.
Not drusha. According to Chachamim, there's no drusha. They felt whatever his motivation was, that it's important that a husband's yorish his wife.
So why
is
it stronger than
Because when the Chachamim make a din derabanan, sometimes the Chachamim make a din derabanan, they make it stronger than din deraisa.
There's no din deraisa here.
They don't, no. They make it stronger that had it been din deraisa, had it been.
Okay.
But it's not. So you make it stronger than whatever the rice would have been, they make it even stronger that tonight would not be bata. So that's the suggestion. Cut up Adam, it's a little tricky. Okay. So that's the suggestion. So the Gemara says, wait a second, that's not the position of Rav, top of Pedalim Omen Aleph. For Rav, if Sava Rav, tonight Kayim, does Rav really hold in a situation of Masa Mashakos Batorah? The implication is Rav only holds by a Dirabanan. Tanai's bato. Tanai's bato. The implication is, but by a deraisa, he would think that Tanai would be chal. A person can be oker a din deraisa through a Tanai.
This specific or any?
Any.
Okay.
So the only reason why the Tanai is bato here is because it's a din derabanan yushas bal. Had it been din deraisa, Rav would have argued on Rashbag and he would have said that Tanai is kaim. Tanai, you can knock it out. Does Rav really say a Tanai could be Oker Din Deraisa? V'ho, top line, v'ho, itmar. Doesn't it say? Ha'omer l'chaveiro, a person says to his friend, his neighbor, Al Menashe en l'cha alai ona. That let's make a deal, I'm going to sell something to you or buy something from you on condition there's no ona. Ona means that more than one-sixth or less than one-sixth of the market value. Very tricky concept, but let's say everybody sells tissue boxes for $1. Now I'm going to sell it to you for $1.50, so that's going to be a violation of ona, because I'm overpricing it. Now, I think we may have mentioned this past, something like milk, let's say. Milk, you go to different grocery stores, it's a bit of a range, there's no set market value, so there's a certain range, has to be. If it's beyond that range by six more or six less than that value, that's going to be a violation of ona. So I say to David, I'm going to sell this to you for $10, it's a tissue box. So, but they're making condition that there's no ona.
With the hay?
With the hay?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, in the Torah, it's low sonu, it says. So, it's if I sell it to you $10, let's say there's no condition. I say, here's $10, and it ends up being ona, the whole mekach is batal. I owe you the money back, and you give me the tissue box. But let's say I say, I'm selling this to you on condition that there's no ona, you have no tainas on me. So then, what's the halacha? Will that be an effective sale or not? So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Yesh Allah Allah. No. Just because I made tonight is not going to be oker the din deraisa. The concept of ona is in the first pasuk in the Torah that ona exists. I cannot make it tonight to circumvent the Torah. And therefore, if there's ona, if there's a sixth, the price difference is a sixth or more, then the whole tonight is bato. Ushmul amar ein lo alav ona. No, there is no ona. Since I made it tonight, I can be oker din deraisa and the sale will go through since we stipulated that there's no tonight. But Rav himself holds that if you make an attempt to be oker din deraisa with the tonight, that won't be working.
But it's not straightforward, meaning this is it, the trial. I'm sure that you can find ase and dochalot ase in that specific case.
But what's the ase, though? No, I'm saying, there's a business deal. I'm selling you something and the Torah says you can't overprice.
To uproot this lotase, and there's a need for that ona, so that you can find something that we know.
It could be, maybe you could create a case of it, you're buying a lulav or a sukkah or something like that, let's say. Yeah. But in a regular business deal, where there's no mrs. Asay dealing with here, so then there's a lav, Rav holds, you cannot be oker the din deraisa. So we can't, so the previous explanation we tried attempting to say is that Rav holds only Tanai's batal on a derabanan. But on a deraisa level, he would have held against Rashbag that Tanai would be kaim against Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But here clearly he holds that no, Tanai is batal even on a din deraisa. So Ella, the Gemara is going to say, so what does it mean? Ella halacha, four lines down, Ella halacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, damar hamasa, mashakas, betorah, Tanai batal. That halacha. Remember, there are two halachas Rashbag told us. One halacha was Yerushas HaBaal of Deraisa. And halacha two was that Kol Masa Amashikos B'Torah Tanai Bato. So now we're saying the halacha is like him, that anyone who's Masa Amashikos B'Torah, that Tanai is Bato. That Rav agrees to that concept, like we just proved by Ona, a person cannot be Mevatel Din Deraisa. But V'lam Mitameh, but not for the same reasoning of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why? Dilu Rabban Shimon Gamliel Savar Mesa Yershena, he holds that if the wife dies, the husband's going to be Yorisher anyways, because it's a Din Deraisa Yushas HaBaal, and a person cannot be Oker Din Deraisa. But Rav Savar Mesa Lo Yerushanu. But he paskins in the end that he will not be inheriting her. So I'm not sure what the svar is here, though. Rashi explained, you see two lines from the top. Rav Savar Im Mesa Lo Yerushanu. This Kesavar Yerusha Sabal Dirabanan Velo Asu Chizik LeDivrem Kishel Torah. I mean, Rav holds in general, whatever the content is, by Onah, Rav agrees to Rabban Shimon Gamliel that a person cannot use a Tanai to uproot a Din D'Oraisa of Onah. What's the Machlokas here? By Yerusha Sabal. Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds Yerusha Sabal as a Din D'Oraisa, so therefore Tanai cannot be Oker the Din D'Oraisa. Rav holds Yerusha Sabal as only a Din D'Rabbanan, and if a person were to make a Tanai, the Tanai can be Mevatel of Din D'Rabbanan. Here Rav is holding that D'Rabbanan is less than a D'Oraisa. Lo Asu Chizik L'Divrayim. Okay, it's tricky. So the Gemara says, this doesn't work out well. Who? This is the same reasoning, but different halachas. Meaning, Rav agrees to the halacha of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that the kol masa mashkos b'torah tonight bato. But the reasoning, that the halacha is different, because in the end, the halacha, Rav says a husband is not yorisher, and the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel thinks a husband is going to be yorisher. That's mitameh v'lo kilchaseh. We're looking for hilchaseh v'lo mitameh. So that throws out that possibility. Ella. Halacha k'Rabban Shimon Gamliel d'amar, we pass like him in regards to imesa yoshanu. The Rav agrees to Rashbag that the husband's going to be yorisher. V'lo mitameh, but not for the same reasoning. Why? Dila Rabban Shimon Gamliel savar mitdereisa t'nai batel ha'bidirabanan t'nakayim. He holds that tonight's batel only on dine deraisa. But on Midirabanan, Tanai is Kaim. And comes along Rav Savar Afilu Midirabanan Tanai Batal. He holds, even on the level of Midirabanan, the Tanai will be Batal. Hai Kitame Vekilchasehu. This is Virab Mosivu. This is that Rav agrees to Rashbag. He agrees to Allaha that Yusha Sabal will exist even in this Tanai. He agrees to Rashbag that Kol Masa Mashakab Zatorah Tanai Batal. He just adds on, not arguing, he just adds on one layer that even on Mitzvahs Dirabanan, a Tanai is going to be Batal as well. That's Mikitame Kichase Virav Mosifu. So that's not what the Gemara meant initially. Ella Allaha Kurab and Shuman Gamliel Damar Imesa Yeshano Vlamitame. So the Gemara says, really, he holds like Rabbi Shbag, that l'halacha, the husband's going to be Yorish, his wife. But not for the same reason. Dilu Rabban Shimon Gamliel Savar Yerusha Sabal Deraisa V'chol Masa Mashikasa B'tara HaTunai Bato. Because Rabbi Shbag holds that the Din Deraisa, based on Psukim and Drushas, a husband's going to be Yorish, his wife, and if a person attempts to be Mevatel, that won't work. V'Rav Savar Yerusha Sabal Derbanan V'chacham Masa V'chizik L'Direm Kishal Tara. And Rav holds, no, the reason is different. I agree in the end of the day, when a husband makes a Tanai, the Tanai will not be effective, and the husband's going to be Yorisher after she dies. Everyone agrees to that halacha, the bottom line. How you get there, the reasoning is different. Rashbag holds Yerusha Sabal as a Deraisa, and a person cannot make a Tanai on a Din Deraisa. Rav holds Yerusha Sabal as a Dirabanan, but Rav holds, even by Dine Dirabanan, also Chizuk L'Divrayim, that Tanai cannot be Mevatel, a Din a dear button. So again, the same halacha, bottom line, but different ways of getting there. That a husband cannot make it Tanai on the Yerusha's Yerusha, whether it's a deraisa or a dear button. Now the Gemara challenges this last point, V'rav savar Yerusha's Abal dear button. Does Rav hold that the concept that a husband is Yerusha's wife is only a din dear button? V'hatna, the Mishnah tells us, is a Mishnah that appears in Bechoros. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brok Omer, Hayorish is Isho, a husband who's Yorish's wife, Yachtel of Vnei Mishpacha. He returns to the money, we'll see what that means in a second, to the family. V'inokelahem min hadamim. And he takes away, removes some of the price, some of the money. So Rashi explains, what does this mean? So Rashi says, Yachtel of Vnei Mishpacha b'yovel. That there's a halacha that certain properties, the properties were given out to the members of the different shratim, the different families. And if one of the shratim were to sell it, then in Yova it goes back to the initial family.
It's talking about Shalom? It's talking about Shalom.
Now this is talking about, I think it's referring to a land. Property, no?
That's what the note says.
Land, right? The karka. So a person has a land. If I buy someone else's land, I'm a Levi, I don't have property in Eretz Yisrael. Someone sells it to me, so I have the land. Comes Yovel, I gotta send it right back to that family. So the lacha is here. So even though the husband is being Yorish's wife, and maybe she has some property, and she comes from Shevet Binyamin, and he's in Shevet Yehuda. So now Shevet Yehuda has an extra property. Comes Yovel, it goes back to her family, back to Shevet Binyamin Tamar. So, and he has to v'inakalem min dame, he has to take off some of the money. So what does that mean? V'avinam ba, the Gemara wants to know, my kesavar. What's the understanding of this? So, Rashi just explained, right before I go weiter, rather, Rashi says, v'inakalem min adamim, kesaka daitach yachsirin lahem b'damon kalim. You return back, they have to buy it back from you, it seems, from this Rashi, for very little money. It's a property costs $500,000, they give it to you for $50,000, whatever the price is. So that's the halacha. So Gemara wants to understand, what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha mean in this Mishnah, that the husband's Yorish's wife, and then comes Yovel, he returns it back to the family, and the family pays him a minimal amount. What's going on here? Havinamba, my kasavar, I kasavar yushas about the raisa, my yachsir. If it's a din de raisa that the husband's gone to Yorish his own wife, so why in the world does he have to be sending it back to the family when Yovel comes along the way? If it's only dirabanan that the husband's Yorish the wife, damim maya vidasahu. So what's with the money here? What's with the money? What's the kasha here?
Why does the wife's family have to pay him anything?
It was never his midaraisa.
Never his. But he was using it, though. So midarabanan, since it's his. So he never had full ownership to it. Therefore, they don't have to. There's no, the Torah tells us that goes back to Yovel, to the family. He was a shomer of that property, but he is not the owner of it to deserve any money. Okay. So Amar Rav, Rav comes along to explain this mission. Now, this is why we need Rav, because we're going to see Rav how he argues. But again, remember, before Rav was telling us that Yerusha Sabah was only a din derabanan. Rav comes along to explain Pshat in this mission, to explain Pshat in Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Amar Rav, li'olam katsava yushas abal deraisa. Really, the husband owns it. It's really fully his on a deraisa level when his wife dies. Ukigon sherishaso ishto beis hakvaros mishum pegamishbacha amar rabbanon lishkol dumei v'luhadar. So the property that she had given over was she bought a plot to be buried in, or a family plot of some sort. And that was being sent over through Yerusha to her husband now. Now, families like to be buried together. That's how it works in shuls and communities, like to be buried together. And it was her mishpacha, not his mishpacha. So the mishpacha wanted it back. So if it came to regular property, regular real estate, ain't echanami, it's Yerusha's baal derais, and he would get to keep it. He wouldn't have to return it. Because of Bekam Mishpacha, they don't want a random person being buried in their family plots, so therefore he has to return it to her. But the Chacham said you have to pay some money for it to get it back.
Return what?
The plot. They bought some base kvaros.
Yeah.
So.
Return it where?
No, they give the ownership. The title goes back to the Mishpacha. They have the rights to bury whoever they want, their family members there. It's an interesting concept, by the way. If you look at Rashi, Mishim Pagam Mishpacha, Rashi says, "Gnai hu lahem shehu acherim nigbarim imahem behem igbru b'kuvas acherim." It's a gnai for others to be buried among their dead family members, and for them to be buried, they're dead. I'm not sure what the hakbada is. I wonder if this is just a hakbada that without any basis, or maybe there's real basis in halacha for such hakbadas.
Even still with the title, it doesn't make it closer. That's in one place, and this is not.
No, they bought a whole section. They bought all these, next to each other, these different plots of.
But the Baal bought somewhere else.
No. So the Baal is going to be buried with his family, where his parents and his siblings, and not with his wife, which itself is something interesting.
No, I want to understand. They have Chalkat Keva, mm-hmm. They have place where all the Mishpacha buried together. And the Baal now is burying his wife somewhere else. With his mishpacha.
No, I'm not sure. We don't know where the wife is buried. But the wife had...
Oh, you assume that they were together.
No, the wife had... She was very wealthy. She bought a lot of plots of land for her family. Her parents and her siblings and everything like that. She dies. That real estate goes over to her husband now, Yusha Zabal. But now that was meant for... Hoping for the families to be buried. Her own family to be buried there. But now the husband owns it. Husband's going to use it to bury some of his own family. So it's going to be mixed families buried together. We're not sure where she gets buried, though. So the Gemara says, so what does it mean now? Ma yinakelehem min damim? What does it mean you're taking off some of the price? explains the Gemara, Dimei Kever Isho, the price of the kavura of his wife. Rashi says, Dimei Kever Isho Shechayev Hu Bikfurasa, he's obligated to pay her. So just read the Brayso. Okay, the Tanya Hamocher Kivaro, person sells his kever, V'derech Kivaro, and the path to get to the kever, Mamado, the place, Umakum Haspedo, and the area, a little platform in front, in order to give the eulogies, the graveside funeral. Bayin b'nei mishpacha v'kovrin oso ba'al karcho mishum pekah mishpacha. So the mishpacha comes along and buries it in that place against his will because of pekah mishpacha, against the will of the lokech. Lokech bought someone else's property. He wanted to buy his a good real estate and sell it. So they this happens, by the way. I've heard this, but even in cemeteries, there's like a large community growing and people get real estate anywhere. So they buy some of the open plots next to that community. It's a thriving community, a shul, and shuls, I'm not sure if it exists so much now, but at least Europe and some older shuls in America, they want the whole community to be buried next to each other. So they would buy it and sell it for high prices. Happens actually by Chabad, by the Rebbe. People buy a lot of plots. People bought a lot of plots a while ago.
I don't think that's legal in America.
Oh, no?
In New York.
Oh, really? I know.
I think you're not allowed to make a profit on selling graves.
Interesting. Because I heard
it's
this.
It's not an investment. You can't make an investment.
Ah, okay.
I'm sure with the rabbits.
But I do know with the Rebbe that I know there are buying and sellings on that.
Under the table.
Right. Not a recording. I wasn't involved in any of this.
And I'd be wrong too. I don't know.
I don't know, but it would be interesting. But I certainly heard something like this.
Oh, then it's better than any building. Investment.
So what comes out of all this is that Yusha Baal is really a Din D'Oraisa, according to Rav. And the reason why you have to return it, even though the husband owns all the property that his wife had, he has to return it back to family because Pagam Mishpach is a big deal, big Pagam, and that overrides the Din D'Oraisa. But he gets paid for the property. Let's say all the plots cost $1,000, $100 per property. He bought 10 plots, so he inherited 10 plots. One of them his wife was buried in, so he takes off the $100 for his wife because he had an obligation to pay for her kavura. So he gets $900 back to sell when he sells everything to the family. That's what it means, Hinakil Hem Ben Damim. That's all because of Pagam Mishpacha. But Midaraisa, there's Yushas Abal. But up until this point, we said that Rav held only Yushas Abal as a Din Dirabanan. Here, Rav is saying Yushas Abal as a Din Diraisa. So the Gemara says, Rav Tame de Rabbi Yochum and Broka Kamar of Leilo Svile. Rav is just explaining Pshat and Rabbi Yochum and Broka, why he says that the property has to go back, my Yachsil Abalav. Within the world of Rabbi Yochum and Broka, he thinks that Yushas Abal is a Din Diraisa. But Rav himself, Rav is Tana who Palag, Rav could argue, he's the same status as a Tana. So he argues and says, no, Yushas Abal is a Din Dirabanan only. Okay. Says the new Mishnah, Isha Meis V'Niach Isha, person dies and leaves over a wife, Ubal Chov, and a debt collector. He owed money to somebody, to a bank, V'Yarshin, and has people inheriting him, he has children. V'Hayelo Pikadon, he has a Pikadon. O Malva B'Yadacher, he has something, that object that was being watched by somebody, or money he lent somebody. And now it's going to come back his way eventually, to his estate. So who's going to collect first? Will it be the wife, the collector in Ksuba? Will it be the Yorshin? Will it be the Baal Chov? So Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yinaseinu L'choshes Shebehem. Rabbi Tarfon rather says, you give it to the weakest among them. And the Gemara is going to explain who's considered the weakest. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Merachman Badin, El Yinaseinu L'yorshin, Shekulin Tzichan Shuva, Ein Yorshin Tzichan Shuva. Very, very important in Rabbi Akiva. Even though Rabbi Akiva was known to Vahaftal Yechachmocha, tremendous Baal Rachman, when it comes to the din, we do not give any Rachman. We don't base on who we feel bad for. We give based on the halach, whatever the halach is. And this is a big contention in poskim, especially the more liberal you are. In Bein Adam L'Chavero is going to override some Dine D'Oraisa. I once heard a whole schmooze about this, that Bein Adam L'Chavero should be overriding a Din D'Oraisa. There's some shita out there that exists that you could be makel, because to make a person feel good, you should give them that makel position. But the real poskim do based on what the true halach is. Now, when there's a range of real true positions, then they might apply a leniency to a certain individual. But to just base on Rachman to say the weaker person should collect it, that's not how we give it a halacha, that's how we pass and didn't. So who gets it? So we have to take into consideration other factors. That apparently when the Yerushim collect the Yerusha, they don't have to make any shvuas. But Baal Chov, when he comes to collect the shvua, He has to say, I have to take a shul that I never collected any money in the past yet. Because the husband's not there, rather the man's not there alive. He's not alive to say his claim. So the only way a Baal Chov could collect is taking a shavua. And Isha to collect a ksuva, she has to take a shavua. She hasn't collected a ksuva in the past. But a Yorish doesn't have to take any shavuas. So we'd rather have the guy who doesn't take a shavua, because shavuas are very serious things. We'd rather him take the money than give it to the other ones who would have to take a shavua. That's all if he leaves a pikadon or a milva in the hand of somebody else. Then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, let's say he niach peros solution miakarka. Let's say he leaves over behind some fruit that were detached from the ground. Some apples were left over in the orchard. So lachir is called kodim bahen zachabem. Anyone first come first serve among the ones who have a claim, the isha, the baal chov, and the yusha, first come first serve. Whoever collects it is zochir. So Rashi just explains kol kodim bahen zachar. Kidmu ha-yorshin zachu. The yorshin were quicker and they got to the fruit first. It's theirs. Ve'ein motzin miyadam. You can't take it out of the hands. De'metal tole di'yosmi lo meshabe le'bachov l'ksuba. There's no lien. You can't, the bachov said, wait a second, I had a lien on this property. Or I had a ksuba on this. The wife said, I had a lien on this property. It doesn't work because there's no lien, there's no shibud on metalton, only on a karka. Then the Mishnah says, zach te'isha yosem miksuba. So let's say she collects more than her worth. Her ksuba was worth. Her ksuba was worth $200, and she collected $300 in fruit. What happens then? Or Baal Chov Yosa Chov, or the Baal Chov goes in and collects all this fruit, and it turns out he's $100 more than he was owed. Yosa Miksuba, Yosa Chov. Hamosar, what do you do with the leftover money that they had collected? They can't keep it, it's not theirs. So, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Yinasnu Lekoshel Shebehen, you give it to the weakest one among them, which is strange because they have no rights to the weakest one among them. It would be the Yorish. So it must be as follows. Let's say the Baal Chov collected it more than his worth, his owed. So it must be that the Isha didn't collect her ksuba yet, and the Yorish didn't get his money yet, so then you have to give it to the weaker one. We'll have to find what the weaker one is. But Rabbi Kiva comes along to say again, no, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Merachman Badin, we don't apply Rachman when it comes to the Din. We need to know what the Emes is. Eli Yinosnu Li Yorishin Shekulan, Tzichan Shuva Veina Yorishin Tzichan Shuva. We always give to the Yorish because he doesn't have to take a Shuva in order to collect.
You cannot even collect it, Lushim? Or whatever you collect it over?
Well, whatever you collect, if the Isha was owed only $200 and she collected $300.
The $100 you give to the Rishim.
Exactly.
And also with the Baal Chov.
Right.
Okay.
Says the Gemara, Lomali lemisnei malve, milva, lomali lemisnei pikadon. The beginning of the Mishnah told us that if the man died and he left over, he had a pikadon and a milva in someone else's hand, then we said either Rabbi Tarfon says it goes to the kosher shaban, or Rabbi Kiva says we give it to the yarshin because they don't take a shvuah. So the Gemara wants to know, why do you have to have two different examples of milva versus pikadon? Milva is where there's money that was lent, pikadon where there's an object that's being watched by somebody else. Explains the Gemara, Tzrichu, we need both cases. Deitana milva, ba'akam rabbi tarfon mishun de milva lotza nitna. If we only taught the case of milva, only there rabbi tarfon would say that you give to the weaker one among them, because a milva lotza nitna, that when money is given over to be, it's given over to be used. And therefore what? Rashi explains, the first Rashi in the Gemara here, lotza nitna, vena kayemes be'en de mechasa guvainu. And the money's not being viewed as intact, because once the money's given, it's considered gone, even though there's an outstanding debt, but the money itself, the actual coins that were used, are considered already in use. And for that reason, they're not considered in the possession of the Yisomim. There's no ownership to them, because it was given away, and it's gone now. It's only a chov, but there's no actual ben. Aval, but maybe, when it comes to pikadon, the isa bene, but the pikadon's still intact, maybe there they would agree to Rabbi Kiva that the money, this pikadon rather, should go to the Yisomim. So Rashi explains, aval pikadon de isa beine, ema v'chol hecha de isa birshuso de yasme isi. Since the actual object that the father left behind is still intact, that should really have strings attached to the Yisomim, and nobody else should have any rights to it. So maybe there Rabbi Tarfon would agree to Rabbi Kiva that Yorshin should get it. That's why we have to teach a case of pikadon. Even by pikadon, Rabbi Tarfon thinks you give it to the weakest one among them. The other way around, if you only tell the case of pikadon, Only there, Rabbi Kiva would think the Yorshim, the Yisomim, collect it because it's still intact. But the case of Milva, where the money is already lost and gone, maybe there the Yisomim have no taina because the actual object, the coins, are no longer considered there anymore. And he would agree to Rabbi Tarfon that the Kosher Shebehem gets it, not the Yorshim. Tzicha, that even there, Rabbi Kiva thinks that the Yorshim get to keep the money. And now finally, we've been using this term kosher, we didn't really know what it meant other than the word weak. My lakosha wasn't mean the weakest one among them. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Omer lakoshel shebe ri'ya, raya, I guess, by the weakest one who has the weakest proof, raya. Look at Rashi. The Rashi says lakoshel shebehen, lakoshel shebe raya. I think it's raya, right? No, shebe, yeah, beraya. Says Rashi, l'mi sheshtaro mu'uchar shelo yuchal lichov lakuchos hakod milo. The person with the latest date on his shtar is going to collect it. Because that means the lekuchos won't be, less lekuchos will be affected by this. So let's say the Baal Chov only lent money recently before the death of the man, and he was married to the wife 10 years ago already, so the latest, the document, the latest date gets it. So you pay the money to the Baal Chov. Right? Because if he needs to collect, if it's the Isha, Isha had a ksuba outstanding 10 years ago. And the man sold property 5 years ago. And let's say there's no money to pay her off, so he could take from the lekuchos that the husband sold to, take it away from him in order to pay back the ksuba, because the ksuba pre-existed the sale. So therefore we give it to the latest date to not have any effect on any of the lekuchos. We give it to the Baal Chov in this scenario, because he borrowed the money at such a late later time, he would affect less lekuchos than the ksuba's Isha. And if it would be the other way around, let's say he had money lent from way before he got married, then the ksuba would collect before the Baal Chov, because it's a later date on the ksuba. That's all according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, where the one who has a weaker raya, which simply means it's a later date on the shtar, which means he has less lekuchos to collect from. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Omer, leksubas isha mishim chunin. No, it's nothing to do with dates. It's always ksubas isha. Tarfon, when he says kosher shebehen, he means the ksuba isha mishim chena. What does mishim chena mean? Mishim chen explains Rashi. Rashi says the ksuba isha he kruya kosher. The woman's always called the weaker one. She ain't darcha lechazer achanichse ameis levake sheichani yesh lekarka. She's not going to go around after her husband dies seeking out where the property is and this money and that money. That's just not the nature of women. Mishim chena shim tu hanashim chen beene hanashim viu nesuos lehen shlo tedagne lehafsi ksuvasan. Because the chen, so she'll, this way the husbands, the men, will find chen bein anashim, and they'll be married to them. They say they shouldn't be worried to lose a ksuba. I guess it's giving her extra security, in essence. It gives her security. She's concerned, she gets his ksuba, but she's concerned, wait a sec, my husband's buying and selling property, I'm not going to ever get my ksuba back if he ever dies or divorces from me. That's what she's thinking. So we give her this extra security, says Rabbi Tarfon, that she gets the first opportunity to collect from this state. Okay. So as a Gemara now, Kitanai to Machlok, it's Tanayim really, that Rabbi Binyamin Omer Lakoshel Shibiraya, Vuhu Kasher, Rabbi Elazar Omer Lakshubat Isha Mishim China. Okay, so the same exact machlokas amaram is really found in the machlokas in the Braisa. Are we doing time here? This is a tough. Okay. It says the Gemara, Hiniach Peyos HaTlushim. So let's say the husband leaves behind some detached fruit, some apples on the orchard. Rabbi Kiva Ma'irya Mosar, Kulanami Diyarshin Havim. So the case was where they overcollected. The Baal Chov overcollected, the Isha overcollected. So the Mosar, what do you do with the Mosar? The Mosar, we had a Machlokas, the Mosar, Bekiva says, goes to the Yorshin. The Gemara says, what do you mean the Mosar? Everything goes to the Yorshin. Bekiva holds, the Yorshin has full rights to collect everything. There's no, the Ksuba's Isha and the Baal Chov has no rights here at all. Says the Gemara, Enoch Nami, you're right. Everything goes, according to Bekiva, everything goes to the Yorsha. Anything that the Isha may have collected, we take away from her and we give back to the Yorshin. The ID Dama Rabbi Tarfon Moser Tana Yi Nami Moser. Since for Rabbi Tarfon, there is the concept of Moser applies to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon thinks that the Isha or Baal Chov, whichever opinion you hold of the previous discussion, they get rights to collect it. The Kosher Shebehem gets to collect rights, and then there might be Moser that goes to the Yerusha, that goes to whoever is next. So since we spoke of Moser according to Rabbi Tarfon, we also spoke of Moser according to Rabbi Kiva, but in Achanami, there really is no Moser. Rabbi Kiva holds that Yorushin collect everything in all the detached fruits. So the top of Amud Beis now says Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva, Tafisa Lomhanya Klau. So is it really true it doesn't work that if the Baal Chov or the Isha goes ahead and collects the detached fruit, it won't be effective? We take it away from them and then give it all to the Yorshin? Amarava, Amarav Nachman, Vahu Shetafis Mechayim. It's where he grabbed it Mechayim, when the husband was still alive. So what are we asking here? What's the kasha here? Well, there's a Tosos here explaining what the question here is. Going back to payment of Bays now. Anything on the article there about this question? Tosos has a whole different shot here.
Yeah, Tosos has a different shot.
Wow. Okay, and so it's not even working on what we just spoke about, right?
I'm going to study it.
We're going to dive. We need some help on this one. So the Gemara asks, okay, Rabbi Kiva really lo mahanya tfisa lo mahanya klal? It sounds like the Gemara was saying Rabbi Kiva, tfisa never works at all for him. And the Gemara says, no, not true. I'm a Rav Nachman v'hu shetavas michaim. Rabbi Kiva agrees. If the Baal Chov had collected, Tosa says Baal Chov, not the Ksubasisha person, a woman cannot collect Mechayim. The Baal Chov, if he was Tofes Mechayim, in Achanami, the Tfisa would be a good Tfisa. It's only Achar Misa, is a Tfisa no longer a good Tfisa. Ule Rebbe Tarfon, Dimancha Hecha. According to Rebbe Tarfon, Rashi explains, Dimancha Hecha, Hanich Peros, the Kama Rebbe Tarfon, Dibishas Misa Lozacha Ben Yershin, Ella Yosach Ben Akodem. If it's detached fruit, he says, anybody first come, first serve. So these fruit, exactly where were they situated? That it's first come, first serve. Rabbi Shmuel, Dami Tervaya, both of them say, Behushit Sibur Nemunuchim Rishus Arabim. It's where they're piled up and placed in the Rishus Arabim. Avab Besimta Lo, but if it's in an alleyway, it wouldn't be true, explains Rashi. Besimta, Keren Zavis Hasmuch Rishus Arabim, a little corner that's off the side of the Rishus Arabim. Ubnei Adam Haosin Schorzem Zeb Shuk Rotsin Ladabit Deram Bimnachas Vishva Das Mistakin Lasham. The Shuk was very, very wild and haphazard. They wanted to have a private conversation, make a deal, they go off to the corner to discuss it. So they found this pile of fruit somewhere in the Rishis Rabim. But if it's found in the Simta, which is this area we just spoke about in the corner, says Rashi of Alba Simta Lo, Amr Bitarfon Kol Kodim Zacha. There he does not say first come, first serve. The Chayim de Makum Haroy Lekinanhu, it's a place where a kinan works, because I mean Ba'alma, but Basra, the Meshicha Kanya Hasim, Afilaman Dabar Bishrabim Lo Kanya, Ain Zemakum Hefker, the Zacha Bem Yershim Mishas Misa, but Machsik Bo Sham Kamaskik Bo Beitim. What Rashi is trying to tell us is that you cannot do certain, most kinanim, Meshicha in particular, does not take place, cannot occur in Rishis Rabim. Has to be in a domain that's more private. Rishis Rabim doesn't work. You go off to the side there, in the simta, this alleyway, this corner, a meshicha will work. So since it's a makom where kinyanim can take place, if the fruit were left there, so then it's a place of kinyanim, the yisomim are going to be yorishit right away, and you would not employ kol kadam zocha. It's only in Rishis HaRabim, where there's no kinyanim taking place in Rishis HaRabim, it's a free-for-all, then we say kol kadam zocha. That's according to Rav Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Dami Tavayel, both of them say, afil besimta. No, even in this alleyway, even if this corner off to the side, that too, kodem zacha, dun, right, afil besimta. So Rashi doesn't explain the svar, but I guess they thought it doesn't work there either. Dun daini kubi tarfon, vahadre Rabbi Reish Lakish, luv deminayo. So I guess there are certain judges, I don't know where the judges were, but I guess in the place of Rabbi Reish Lakish, they passed like Rabbi Tarfon that kodem zacha, and Reish Lakish returned it. They ended up being chosen in the psak, and the way they explain it here in Rashi is because we hold like Rabbi Kiva. Different point. There's machlokes within the world of Rabbi Tarfon called kodem zacha. And they thought, since Reish Lakish was commenting Rabbi Tarfon, he probably holds like Rabbi Tarfon, called Kodem Zocha. Reish Lakish was just explaining Rabbi Tarfon, but he didn't actually pass like him, because he always passed like Rabbi Kiva over his Chavera. And Amrle Rabbi Yochanan said, Asita Kishel Torah. You did like the Torah. So Rashi explains, Asisa Divrei Rabbi Kiva, Kilu Hein Halacha Mosh Mishinai, Shechazarta Mishat Ma'isa Bezdin. You overturned the ruling to pass like Rabbi Kiva as if it was a clear Halacha Mosh Mishinai. Die alone in the Kaim Halacha Kamosa, Lechachila, about Mishinasa, Venigmar Hadin, Ein Lan Lachser. Yochanan says lichachilu paskin like Rabbi Kiva, but b'di'eved, if he passed like Rabbi Tarfon to overturn the din, we won't go so far to say that, says Rabbi Yochanan. So what's the machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether you could overturn this psak halacha? Lema b'hakim lifkim. Maybe they're arguing about the following concept: the mar savar ta b'davar misha choser, mar savar davar b'davar misha eno choser. If a person makes a mistake, the Gemara and Sanhedrin talk about this. If the dayan makes a mistake on a davar mishnah, which Rashi explained is b'davar misha dekay mulan halacha k'Rabbi Kiva, heichad yechida p'ligaleha. When it's Rabbi Kiva up against one other tana, we always pass on Rabbi Kiva. So if a person makes such a mistake, is that going to be a mistake that will overturn the halacha, the ruling, or not? One thinks if you make such an obvious mistake, everybody knows Rabbi Kiva, we pass like him over a chavero, then if you made that mistake, you would overturn the ruling. And the other one thinks, no, we wouldn't overturn the ruling. That's what the Gemara thinks the machlokas is at first. And the Gemara responds, lo, the chuliyama, to b'davar misha choser. Everybody agrees such a mistake would require overturning the rule. And we would follow like Rabbi Kiva, even b'dievin. V'hacha, b'ha, k'mifka, they're arguing about the following. Mar sever halacha, filo, halacha, k'Rabbi Kiva, mechavero, v'lo merabo. Interesting concept. Everybody agrees we've passed like Rabbi Kiva over his chaver, but over his Rebbe, where we tar from was his Rebbe, we're not going to go so far to say that, according to Reish Lakish, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And therefore, since we're passing like Rabbi Tarfon, we're not going to overturn the ruling. But Reish Lakish thinks that no, we pass like Rabbi Kiva even against his Rebbe, even against Rabbi Tarfon. So therefore, if the halacha was given that way, so then we would still overturn it and pass like Rabbi Kiva. Which I have more time to explain. I think there's something going on here, not deeper, but something beyond that. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan would agree, lechachila, you should pass like Rabbi Kiva over Rabbi Tarfon. The only machlokas is b'dievet, so it doesn't seem to be so exact the way the Gemara is presenting it right here. But then the Gemara makes another suggestion. V'ibayisema, we only have 8 minutes. V'ibayisema, d'chuliyama, halacha, k'Rabbi Kiva, mechaver, v'lo merabba. Everybody agrees we hold like him against his chaver, but not against his Rabbi Tarfon. V'hacha, k'mifkli, mar savar, Rabbi Tarfon, rabo hava, mar savar, chaver, hava. One holds Rabbi Tarfon was considered his Rebbe, and therefore you can't pass against Rabbi Tarfon. And the other, Reish Lakish, felt that they were Chaverim, and therefore you can't pass like Rabbi Kiva over Rabbi Tarfon. Ibai same alternatively, everyone agrees they were friends. They were at the same level, contemporaries. The question, what did we say here? Did we say that Halacha is always like Rabbi Kiva? Or do we say that we leaning towards Rabbi Kiva, lichachila, but b'dieved, we're not going to overturn the ruling. That was the machlokas. How much, what was the klal? Halacha k'Rabbi Kiva or matin k'Rabbi Kiva? Now, k'reva de Rabbi Yochanan, tafas parah de yasma b'sitma. There's a relative Rabbi Yochanan who took hold of a cow of a yasom that was found in the simta in the alleyway, and that's subject to the machlokas above, within the world of Rabbi Tarfon, where the simta goes automatically to the yasomim or not. So also the comment of Rabbi Yochanan, they went to ask him the psak, amr lehu shaper tafsasua. They made a good tfisa, because the kinyanim, it doesn't go to the yisomim in the simta, it's called kadam zocher. So also the kamid Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, now they went to Reish Lakish, amr lehu zil adur, go return it back, because even in the simta, I paskin, the Rabbi Tarfon holds, in the simta, it does go to the yisomim, and we don't apply kadam zocher. Also the kamid Rabbi Yochanan, and then they went back to Rabbi Yochanan, amr lehu ma asit, shekinegdi chalak alai, what am I to do, because he's going against me. So I guess Rabbi Yochanan is saying he's of equal strength to me, Reish Lakish, and I can't do anything against him. And I guess, moreover, that since he's a relative of Rabbi Yochanan, he probably couldn't pass me either because he's a nogeb davar.
Rabbi Yochanan also held that since it goes directly to the Urshim that someone else can't grab. I think the difference is that the Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion before that once you do something outside the normal...
Oh, you're right, yeah. He agrees with Chachila in the Simta, it will be a good kinin. But b'dieved, if Kol Kol Mazoka, you won't overturn the ruling. That was a machlok. Okay, very good.
Sir Arashi Tosa says, if you look at the second wide line, mm-hmm. that this is Chashiv Kemo Dieved, Kivin Shukvar Tafsuha.
Aha, okay.
There was no psak even over here. It was just someone did something on their own. But just like we saw before, Rabbi Yochanan says b'dieved, you don't go back. So he considered this thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so this interesting Gemara in terms of psak halacha, like going heter shopping here. He first goes to one, then goes to the other one. The Gemara doesn't say that you can overturn the initial ruling, that you can't, since Rabbi Yochanan gave initial psak, then it's Reish Lakish has no bearing. It sounds like Rabbi Yochanan conceded to what Reish Lakish said. Okay, then the Gemara has another ma'isa, hahu bakra diyasmin, there's a bakra, a cow of a yasam, the tafsi tura mine. Maybe it's a
watched animals.
Someone who watched animals. Okay, Rashi says that. Yeah, Shomer Behemosam. So okay, there's a one who's watching animals of the Yosom, and he grabbed hold of the Turov of a shore. Minei Balchov. So I guess no, the Balchov rather. Let's see. No, Turov Minei. So the this guy.
Yeah,
Balchov took it from the watchman. Okay, Balchov Amar, I took it from before the guy died. It wasn't the Yosomim's. I had a hold of it before him. Ubakra Amar Lachar Misa Tafsin, and he said, no, you only took it after the father had died, and it was really Yosomim's rights. Also, the commentary of Nachman Amar Lei Ishlech Hasadi the Tafsin. Do you have any aidan that you were tofus it before he died? Amar Lei Lav, I don't. Since you could have said that you bought it, which is a better, stronger taina, and but instead you went for the more honest approach and you said you grabbed it before him, we're able to believe you based on this migu. Mara says, is that really true? But Grodos, Rashi explains, are behemadaka, small little animals, al shem gidros son, ein l'mchazaka, Rashi says, ein ha-machsk behem yacholomar l'kuchen heim b'yadi, eshem ha-metzon v'chnisa b'beso, fichur darchon halach b'sados. I can't just go ahead and grab a sheep and say, oh, it's mine, I bought it. It doesn't work like that, because they wander off. People's sheep and cattle wander off. You can't just make a claim that you own it. So how could that have been a possible claim? Since you could have said, I bought the animal, I bought the bakar, but instead you said the honest approach, the reality that you were tofus it. It's only good migo if the other approach was a feasible claim. But we're being told now you could never claim that you just bought this random bakar or sheep unless you have a star to prove that. So how could this be possible? So Gemara explains, shiny tura de mesira leroa. This is different here, because it's given over to the shepherds. It was a behemah gasa, I guess. And it's different than the godos. Godos are talking about behemah dakos, and behemah dakos wander. But behemah gasa is bigger animals, which is a buck or is a big animal, that don't just wander off. They have a shepherd, or whatever you call one who leads cattle. So that case, they don't just wander off. So since he's having a hold of it, he could have simply said he bought it. But since he said that really he took hold of it, we believe him as well there. I think that's what the Gemara says. Okay, that's 53. Maybe we'll stop here a little earlier and we'll pick up tomorrow, I guess, from here. Okay.